can be saved but by the name of Jesus. We thank you for that name. We thank you for that life. We thank you for saving us. Now bless us today with a word from heaven. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for the change. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to thank Michael Kelly for that beautiful number. And I want to thank my wife for being able to play that beautiful number. And thank you, Isai, for changing the batteries for me. That's one thing, you can't even hide that, right? You know exactly what's going on, but I'm grateful for them picking those kinds of things up. And I'm grateful for the ministry that the media ministry that they do for our church. Have you ever had something mean said to you? Or have you ever said anything mean to someone else? And when those two events happen, have you ever said, "This is nothing but the devil"? Or, "It's nothing but Satan"? Well, that happened to me a week ago. I said something to my wife. We were getting ready to have worship. And I said something that was mean. And when I said it, and it came out of my mouth, I knew it. I said to myself, uh-oh. Have you ever had one of those moments? I mean, when you said it, you knew that you shouldn't have said it, and you can't take it back. In fact, when I said it, my wife let me know that what I said was not right, and so it was a double barrel. And I'd like to think that that was very unusual for me. I'm not sure if it is or not. It's hard to critique yourself. But I knew that that was the old devil when it came out of my mouth. How do you react to these kinds of things, the temptations? Do you bite on the situation? Well, I'd like to show you how Jesus dealt with this very common problem. And that's the scripture that was read, the Gospel of St. Matthew. If you would turn there to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus is faced with the cross. It's soon before him. And most of us are aware of Matthew chapter 4. This is the chapter where Jesus deals with the temptation with the devil. He takes him on a high pinnacle, and you know the Matthew chapter 4 account. And most of us are aware of that. But most of us think, and Jesus won that battle in Matthew chapter 4, but we just assume that that is the end. And Matthew chapter 16, most of us remember this great commendation to Peter, where Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And in verse 14, "And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, always the one to speak up, says this, "You are the Christ, the Son of a living God." Amen. He got it right. Jesus commends him for that spiritual insight. But not long after that, in fact, I'd like to have you skip down to verse 21 of the same chapter. This is the same Peter that's getting ready to come up. Verse 21, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day." Now look at verse 22. This is almost unbelievable, but it's true. It's there. "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far it be from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." I want you, do you get this? Peter rebukes Jesus. Do you get that? Peter rebukes Jesus. That's hard to believe. Peter was the quick-tongued Peter, which will keep you in trouble when you have a quick tongue. Whenever you feel that you can't keep silent, it's probably a time for you to keep silent. Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes Jesus. What a passage. And then look what Jesus' reaction is. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 8, it gives a little different nuance or picture that we don't see quite in Matthew. But Jesus, what he does, the Bible says he turns away from Peter in Mark. Now, Jesus, if there's anybody who could face you face to face, is Jesus. But that's not how he dealt with Peter. It said he turned away and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't look him straight on. He turned away and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." What an awful put down. I have to admit, I've never been called Satan. Thank the Lord. What a put down. And now we know that Jesus was talking, and the words were from Peter, but the spirit was of Satan. You see, Jesus recognized exactly where the words were coming from, and he assigned it to the very source. You know, there's some things that we say, we know it's from the devil. Nobody has to tell you. When it comes out of your mouth, you know it's from the devil. How do you know that? How can you tell when it's from the devil? Well, the character of the words reveal their origin. If somebody cusses you, you know it's from the devil. That didn't come from the Lord. The character of the words reveal their origin. And when it came out of my mouth, what I said to my wife, I knew it was not from the Lord. You know, we have to really be careful about unguarded moments. You know what's sobering about this story? It was from one of his disciples. We have to watch it as people of God. You see, because you don't expect it to come from there. Some of the most hurtful things that have happened to us have happened in church, from church people. And we don't expect that. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Let me tell you, if we're not careful, we could be a mouthpiece for evil, just like Peter was. I was thinking about this, and I ask myself, if Jesus said the words, "Get behind me, Satan," should we say those exact words? I thought about this, and I'm convinced when I'm in a mess and I know the devil is around and coming for me, you know what I say? I say, "Help me, Jesus." That's my favorite phrase. Now, I don't know if you should say the words, "Get behind me, Satan." In fact, if you are not serious, the devil will laugh at you when you say that. But you ought to have something planned in advance that you say when the devil is coming after you. I say, "Help me, Jesus." And you need to say it before you get in trouble. You need to plan on having something to say in advance. That's what I should have said before I said what I said to my wife. I broke my own rule. I didn't say, "Help me, Jesus," first. I said something mean and then said, "Help me, Jesus." That's how we do it. What do you say when you are being attacked by the devil before you make matters worse? Is there something that you say? Tito, what do you say? Is there something that you say all the time when you're getting ready to have trouble come?
Not quick enough.
Not quick enough. Not quick enough. Lois, anything that you say? Is there something that you say all the time?
I said, "Lord, give me strength."
Did you hear what you said? "Lord, give me strength." Somebody in the first service said that same thing. Dorothy, what do you say?
I just say, "Help."
"Help." That was the most, they said that in the first service more than any other word. "Help." Nancy, what do you say? I know I'm picking on you. Y'all getting worried because I'm walking through the congregation. Trust in him. I'm not going to pick on anybody else. I can go around and pick on more names. Trust me, I know more names. You need to have some words ahead of time. Are you listening? Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." I'm not sure what your words are, but you need them ahead of time. You see, the Matthew 4 didn't end Jesus' attack, the devil's attack on Jesus, and it does not end his attack on you. You will not be insulated from the devil messing with you because you come to church. You got to have something to say in advance. "Help me, Lord." Why should we have something in advance to say? Let me read something for those who are guests. There's somebody very important we've been studying about her ministry in our Sabbath school lesson. Her name is Ellen White. Had a lot to say, a lot written. I want to read some things that she has to say that you will find very striking and interesting. One comes from letter 33:18-86, or you can find it in the book Our High Calling. She says, "If the thoughts are right, then as a result, the words will be right. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we're familiar with Matthew chapter 12, the great chapter where Jesus says, "But I say that every word that we shall speak, we shall give an account of in the day of judgment. For by thy words shall thou be justified, and by thy words shall thou be condemned." And then this one was good for me to read. It's from the Review and Herald, 1884. "The adversary is talking about the devil of the soul is not permitted to read the thoughts of men." Aren't you glad? Devil can't read your thoughts. But the quote goes on and says, "But he is a keen observer and marks the words." There's some things, even though we're thinking, we should not say. Oh, I hope y'all are listening today. There are some things that we should not say. Oh, there are many of them I'd like to take back. And that's, he takes account of actions and skillfully adapts his temptations to meet the cases of those who place themselves in his power. Did you say, I mean, when you say the words, then he takes it and he fashions it to meet your situation. The devil, you know, on the interstate this week, on I-805, there was a guy driving a truck, a pickup truck, who threw money out of the pickup truck. And folks stopped their cars, it's reported, to get some of that money. Now, you know, some of y'all would have been tempted by that. The economy is rough. Some of y'all didn't need to be on 805 when money was coming out of that truck window. Now, I'll just tell you, that would not have bothered me. That's not a temptation for me. If the money would have flown out there, I would have left it alone, and if it would have flown on the inside of my car, I would have turned it in. That's who I am. The devil was not going to have that for me. That would not bother me. But you, you didn't need to be on I-805 when money was flying out the window. Come on, because some of y'all would have scooped it up. Not realizing that there were other people on the interstate with their cell phones taking pictures of the license plate of those who got the money. Now, how would that have looked if they'd have said, the pastor of the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church, they took his picture stopping on the interstate collecting that money, and he didn't turn it in. How good would that have looked? Oh, you guaranteed if I'd have done that, the devil would have had some, it had five or six pitches. If we would labor to repress sinful thoughts and feelings, giving no expression in words or actions, Satan would be defeated. For he could not prepare his specious temptations to meet the case. He waits to meet the case of you. You can come to church for 20 years. He'll make sure that the wrong person at the wrong time meets you and tells you what they have no business telling you. Why? To get you off of your mission. Jesus' mission was to go to the cross. The devil was trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross So he used Peter to try and the devil will do anything to stop you from coming to church. And you know it. And he'll use one of the disciples. He'll use one of the saints to stop you from coming to church. You know Sabbath morning can be the roughest morning there is. Nothing works. Everything takes longer. Come on, am I right? Anything to keep you from here. But I am so glad that there is an answer. Found in Jesus. This week, an NFL player, it is reported, because I know this is recorded, it is reported, driving his Bentley. Now, the closest I get to a Bentley is when I go to the auto show. I had no problem with him driving a Bentley. If he's an NFL receiver for the Cleveland Browns, he can drive a Bentley. But I don't know what he was doing drunk. It is reported. His blood alcohol was twice the legal limit, and he ran over and killed someone. I don't know what he was doing there, doing that. And so he's an NFL star receiver one day, and now he's facing 10 to 15 years in jail the next day. The devil does not play. He's not playing, and if he's not playing with that NFL receiver, which name I won't call, it is reported, he will not play with you. You need some words. If you don't have any planned, you need to get some before you leave here at this service. For me, it's help me, Jesus. Lord, help me to say it ahead of time, not after. Whatever it is, you know the original language, what those words, get behind me, Satan, meant? I didn't say this. Jesus was telling, it meant get away from me. Get out of my sight. We need people nowadays to start telling the devil, and you know when stuff is of the devil. You need to say, get out of my sight. It's time for Christians, it's time for us to get some backbone and start saying, devil, get out of my sight. If you don't do that, you think he's going to leave you alone? Huh? You think he's going to leave you alone? In fact, he studies. That's why I need Jesus. How about you? That's why I need him all the time. He knows me. He's watched me. And I've been stupid enough to tell him a lot of stuff out of my mouth. And he's getting somebody planted. He's getting one of the saints to greet me at the door where I get the most upset. Over the 5 years, I've had more stuff said at the door, and he knows that works for me. So when I walk down the aisle today, I'm going to walk down saying, help me, Jesus. Now, I should learn by now. Wouldn't you think, aren't we hard-headed? I've been tested enough on that. That should not be an issue. Amen? Well, I tell you, boy, but I had some saints, boy, come down the aisle at the door. Somebody got mad because I mentioned some product They don't want you to even mention a product name. Said I was giving voice to the product. Jesus, and I was upset. I let him know I wasn't happy that he told me that. See, I'll let you know right back at the door. So now I go down the aisle and say, help me, Jesus. You see, because I cannot be deterred from what it is Jesus wants. He wants me to be saved. Amen? Now, he didn't want me to be lost. He doesn't want you to be lost. The price has been paid. It's too high. Amen? And Jesus died on Calvary's cross for you. And I close. You have to have words to say because you have to conquer Satan every single day, again and again and again. You have to conquer him every single moment. You need something to say. If you can't think of a good word, I got one for you. Jesus. Jesus. May that. How many want to find a good word today to take with you? That's all I'm asking you to do. Just take a good word with you today. You're going to find you need it. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for being in front of us. Lord, we look at Peter, but we're Peters a lot of times. Our words don't always match. They don't even match our feelings sometimes. They just come out. They find themselves coming out. And when they come out, Lord, we know we regret them. It's hard to take them back. But, Lord, we're thankful for you. Because you can forgive even words. You see, the devil, Lord, will take those words and he will tell us we're no good. We don't deserve salvation. But we're thankful that your forgiveness at your cross, that your salvation is greater than any of the words. For our words all have sinned and said words that they should not have said. We're thankful for Jesus who saves us and heals us in Jesus' name. Amen.